AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, serving southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And as always, I'm going to ask every one of you to go to your telephone right now. Don't delay. Go to the phone, invite family members and friends in our broadcast area to check us out on the radio. If they're not in our area, I encourage you to let them know they can tune in on the internet by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. This has been a very, very interesting year and a holiday season with more people seeking out American-made items to give to family members and friends. And I will say without question that I know there's lots of work that has to be done to restore the 50-50 balance we often speak about. But I am really pleased to say that change is really happening as I go to the stores and listen right to the managers and the sales clerks. Our American people are looking out for American-made. Unfortunately, there's still not enough American-made available. Joining us on this particular discussion and many more are our distinguished panel of guests, Larkin Connolly, president of SCORE Philadelphia, Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and Mark Andel, the founder of Made in America Store. I want to first start off today with Rich, who is probably living there in the most best climate, I should say, of the whole United States. How's everything down there where you are?
Guys, good morning to everyone. Happy to be back to show you that, to make the case for karma, if it exists. I was in Chicago last week. I came out to my car on Thursday morning at 8:30. The thermostat in the car said zero. So I guess I got what was coming to me, but we've had good sunny holiday winter weather. Very happy to be back. I want to, if I may, make mention with the holiday coming up, let me be the first to wish Larkin a happy birthday in a week and a half. I know Larkin's a little mad at me for good reason. I found out Larkin wasn't on my American Workers Radio Logis propaganda email group. And Larkin, I have fixed that. I was remiss. That's my fault. I fixed it, but I want to go and publicly wish Larkin.
Well, Rich, if that was birthday. A boo-boo, then I'm going to have to hit the boo-boo machine.
It's the gong for me.
So, Rich, I know you haven't received the Christmas present I sent you. I don't want you to worry about it because the batteries were included. I had to include batteries or it wouldn't ignite. So,
open American-made batteries.
Oh. They are American-made, absolutely.
Right from Philly.
Oh, Mark, how's everything up where you are? I was thinking about you over the weekend because we had several great little snowstorms in our area. And I thought of you. I said, well, Mark is kind of happy because I heard that 44 states out of 50 were with snow this weekend.
You know, the 1% of us like this, and that's me. You know, it snowed here since last Tuesday night, and it's still snowing now. I'm south of Buffalo by about 15 miles. We've got, at General Welding here, we've got about 2 foot on the ground. At my house, about 6 miles away, a little more south, only 6 miles, I'm 3 to 4 feet. And they registered over 60 inches about 10 miles south of me. It's been incredible for winter wonderland.
Wow, it sounds good. I like snow. I enjoy snow. So
yeah,
I like...
so we're pushing that around and...
Henry, the engineer, he's giving me the down sign. He's saying, no, we don't want any snow.
Yeah, it's definitely helping the snowplow business we've got with parts and repairs. We had our All-American Christmas event last Saturday at our store, and it was probably only 10 degrees. We had Ricky Lee doing some music and a sculptor doing the chainsawing, and my engineer brought his alpacas, but it was cold outside. But I tell you, you know, we got dedicated people that believe in the story and the movement that came out. I was really impressed. We had a great time, good holiday time, and just thanking the customers and the community.
And, you know, Mark, as people are going out, I go to different events and people are saying, my Lord, I never realized this was happening all around me. Everything I touch has a foreign, you know, label on it. How are we going to do that? And I say to the people, well, it's good because now people are looking for themselves and able to see what is really going on. And if we don't make change now, it's never going to happen. We're just going to go back to sleep and it's going to be dead in the water.
And Mike, at least they're noticing. They're noticing that they're surrounded by China, Taiwan, you know, and at least that's part of understanding what's going on. And then do your part, you know, chip in and, you know, do a little, get educated a little bit.
You know, last week in Philadelphia City Council, now our council does many sorts of resolutions and, you know, you name it, they do it. But I was pleased to say that last Thursday, Councilman Mark Scuola put the final icing on the piece of legislation, the resolution, encouraging people to support National Small Business Weekend, the first weekend of every month. So my compliments to the great Councilman Mark Scuola, and it was unanimously passed. Now, what exactly does that do? That encourages all the people in Philadelphia, all the council people in Philadelphia, to promote National Small Business Weekend, the first weekend of the month. The rest is up to the people, the council and whoever else wants to make any kind of proposals or press releases or whatever. That's great. But it's really up now to the stores to do what we are doing, and that is urging people to go and shop local, share some of your dollars with the big guys and the small guys so that we can get our American-made items back on the shelves. What else is happening? I know that Larkin wants to tell us a little bit about his efforts at SCORE and also about an article that appeared in the paper, which I was really pleased to see. Tell us about that, Larkin.
Well, yeah, again, it's a shameless pitch for SCORE Philadelphia, but on the 8th of January at 105 North 22nd Street here in Philadelphia at the SCORE offices, we will have an event with the SBA. We will be talking about how to do business with the federal government. And after that, it will be how to certify your company to do business with the federal government. It's an all-day affair. You know, the federal government spends more money than the next three or four nations added together. And that includes China. The budget spending is extraordinary. And it comes back to that question that I always ask, what comes after a trillion? I'm not sure I know. But at any rate, the federal law states that they have to give 23% of that budget, that spending has to be spent with, you know, small businesses, small disadvantaged businesses. That leaves billions and billions of dollars that are spent. What our workshop will do on January 8th is teach you how to go after it. And I happened to be at CCP at an event with Goldman Sachs, and a young lady stood up and started to talk about her business. They were making pitches to a Shark Tank type affair, and I knew the lady, and she remembered me. Her name was Dorothy. We made her an 8A company under the federal government, and within 7 months, she sold $5.7 million worth of furniture to the Birmingham, Alabama school district. Never touched the furniture, never saw the furniture, but as an 8A federal government qualified purveyor, vendor, she made that sale at full margin.
And that furniture was made?
In America.
Wonderful.
I can only hope.
I know you were at the furniture sale, and I was hoping that you were going to tell me it was 100%. Of course, we can go less than 100% in many cases because some of it's assembled or whatever. But we have to look for more and more of the restoration of those jobs and industries right here in the USA.
So we talked a little bit, you and I, and we have been talking over the past weeks with Rich and Mark about the fact that my prediction is that 2014 is going to be the year for the Made in America movement. And I think 2013, as rough of a year as it was, really stands to set up 2014 to be a great year for bringing this initiative to fruition, to get everybody to understand it and participate and get consumers to take a look at where things were built. The Senate has just passed a bill back in the beginning of November that frees up some capital for small businesses. That was sponsored by our own Pat Toomey on the Republican side, and it's a great bill. It frees up small business capital. So, you know, the stage is kind of set. It's just time in 2014 to determine if you have the guts, and I'll leave it at guts, if you have the guts to get out there and start a small business, at least sit down and do the proof of concept to see if you do have something that you want to do and you enjoy doing, and go out and start a small business.
And if you need any help, remember that Larkin Connolly is here, ready, able, and willing to help you there at the SCORE office in Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
And we're going to see more things made in Philadelphia, more things made in Pennsylvania, and more things made in the USA. The tide is definitely changing. As I walk around, I was really pleased, and I've made it a point to go out. In fact, I've gone out too many days lately to see what's going on in the stores and speak to the people who have some command over what is going to be happening in the future. And they are saying to me that people have made it known. Some of them also said that because of the way people are showing that they don't like what happened in America, many of the businesses are making the point that we have to return some level of our manufacturing back to the United States because people are walking away. Additionally, I learned in my travels that some of the stores have sales of 50, 60, and 70% discount on largely imported products so that they would be able to move that inventory. And that cheers me up. And some people say that they are definitely looking around. They've done searches through the USA, and they're putting the claw down on their suppliers, their merchandisers, to bring more stuff in. One of the biggest problems we have is supply. You can have 1,000 companies want products, but if you don't have the supply on hand right now, what do you do?
And it's very much like the job situation also. Everybody's talking about developing job programs. If that job program doesn't start with developing and starting small businesses, then you're really talking about something that you can't accomplish.
Right. And here in southeastern Pennsylvania, we've had a number of job programs over the years, and the people were trained, but then after they were trained, they had no place to go. And that's what we're trying to do here on American Workers Radio, is really wake the people up, because it just can't continue. And I want to take this first opportunity before we get to the Christmas and holiday season to say thank you to everyone that is walking around in the stores asking, you know, making a little bit of a point to say you're looking for American made, and inconveniencing some of the people to take time to tell you, well, we don't have it or whatever, or here, this is made, and you find one item out of 200 made in the USA. But the statistics are getting a little better, I must say that. Mark, how's the statistics getting up in your area as far as your local stores?
Well, excellent. We've got the flagship store in Alma, which is 6,000 square foot. And people, even this past weekend at the event, I wanted to briefly just mention, Larkin, your ears must have been ringing Saturday. I had a young couple come that were selling their popcorn, different flavored popcorn. He was served in the Army over in Afghanistan, and he said they use SCORE to get started. And oh, I said, boy, I'm on radio every week with the president of the Score in Philadelphia. They used a New York chapter. But it was neat to hear this young couple just started their business, and they're energetic. So it was great to hear, that Score helped them get going.
That's great. Thank you.
That was awesome. But, we've got our flagship store, and then I tried these two mall outlets, one at Eastern Hills and McKinley Malls, two small malls within a 20-mile, well, probably 30-mile radius of us. But it's neat. If you keep you've got to remind people that it matters to buy American. You've got to keep it in front of them, but boy, do the people appreciate it. I've proved with these two holiday stores we're trying that people love what we're doing. You've got to make it convenient for them, but if they're given the choice, they'll shop at our store, and we became like a general store. And the great comments, Mike and team, that I hear, they get it. People are getting it. They understand. You've got to keep it in front of them. You got to keep it convenient. But they really like putting their dollar, voting with their dollar. They like making a difference. And I remind them, we're up to 6,000 products. And when you talk about supply and demand, thank God I started the distribution center last year just to feed our stores and website. But to gather all them products, because a lot of these smaller, the 400 manufacturers we support, 99% are privately owned, and they're smaller mom and pops, a lot of them, they can't keep up, but hopefully, even we've made a difference for them, and they thank me all the time, and that's the biggest, I love that the most, these manufacturers, smaller ones, saying thank you, you're really making us busier, we've had to buy equipment, we've had to hire a couple people, that's great stuff, but you've got to, they're growing slowly, but if we keep this up, it'll work in the right direction.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I want to add something to that, which is very interesting, because people, when they're going out, they're looking at the American-made stuff, even candles and everything else, people are saying to me, but there is one thing that they do have a concern about, and that is those sales with 50, 60, and 70% off. Some of the people ask me and ask the store personnel, well, those products must have been overpriced from day one for you to be able to drop 50, 60, and 70%. And some of the store owners just say, well, I'm only the personnel, I don't make the decisions and this and that. But it is true. If you didn't have that sale now to move that inventory, last year, some of the stores got stuck with an enormous amount of inventory. So this year, they're really been going out and opening early and everything else.
The name of the chairman of the board at JCPenney escapes me, but it's decent stuff to look up. But JCPenney, about a year and a half ago, with a new chairman in the seat, decided that they were going to change their strategy, their marketing strategy, and they changed it to fair and affordable pricing.
Excellent.
They went away. Well, you say excellent. They lost $2 billion. The CEO was summarily fired.
Oh, because the people want to see those bargains.
Yeah, they don't want fair. Yeah. They don't want reasonable. They want bargains.
Bargains.
So you know, it's funny, Mike. We're talking about profit margins, and one problem for me with the Made in America store is the profit margin. The profit, from what we buy at cost and what we can sell for at perceived value and what people understand. That's a major problem for our Made in America products. Now, we have to get back to leading with quality. I keep reminding my team, push quality, 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 because the profit margins, we couldn't give 50, 60% sales. We can't do that. Even with Wigwam Socks, they have 5,000 outlets. We're the only one that doesn't have a sale, and they can't believe how good we do because people buy into what we're doing. They respect that it's made here. But we don't have them profit margins, and a lot of people don't realize we don't, have a quality Made in America shirt here. It costs more money to make a product in the United States, and that can't be forgotten. So it's harder, when you're shopping, you have to realize that I'm lending money for my General Welding to keep the whole movement and the belief alive and getting smarter at this retail business. But it's hard when you're making products here. That's where we want the government to get out of our way.
You're absolutely. Can you hold on a second, guys? When I come back, I am going to return with a few questions to our Dr. Rich Loges. But the next portion of our program during this very special time of year is being presented by Martin Bednarek, who is the president of Washington Savings Bank, Kazimierz Wielki, and they have 5 locations in Philadelphia to serve you. Make sure you always call on Washington Savings for your banking needs. and Mr. Leon Mankowski, a very well-known and distinguished attorney in the Philadelphia area, has his office at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue, and he invites you to give him a call at 215-739-8521. And Mr. Frank Spula, who is the national president of the Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal life insurance organization, welcomes you to contact them for all of your life insurance plans, annuities. They have traditional IRAs and so much more. For more information, give them a call at 1-800-621-3723. And if you have additional services needed in the legal field, Mr. Michael Steinman is a faithful supporter of our broadcast. He is an attorney at law, and he has two locations in Philadelphia to serve you. One is at 17th and JFK Boulevard, and the other is at 8510 Bustleton Avenue. For more information, call Michael Steinman at 215-564-1866. And Karen Janad, who is a State Farm agent, welcomes you to call her for your auto, home, and life insurance needs. Give her a call at 215-862-5490. And don't forget, this is the holiday season, and when you're out shopping, try Net Cost Market. They're located at 117,001 Bustleton Avenue at the Leo Mall in Northeast Philadelphia, where you will find an unbelievable selection of great products. That's 117,001 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, just off Byberry Road and Bustleton Avenue. Stop by and see for yourself. And if you're planning to do some traveling, and I know that all of you would like to do that in the new year, don't forget that Nina Titta has her office located at J World Travel, 2626 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. For more information, give her a call at 215-634-6006. And as I've mentioned in the past, 100% of the items sold at the Made in America store are made in America. And you can shop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by going to madeinamericastore.com. No matter if it's for the holiday season or any time during the year, Mark Andel and everyone there from the Made in America store welcome you to shop. Go to madeinamericastore.com. And Mr. Chester Kshanowski, who is the proprietor of Sedena's Auto Body Shop, invites you to call upon him for all of your auto body repair needs. They have two locations. One is at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For more information, you can call Sedena's Auto Body Shop at 215-535-6606. And Dr. Włodzimierz Zinn of Everest Dental also wants to wish all of you the very best during this special holiday season. And he reminds you that his office is located at 9892 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, you can call Dr. Włodzimierz Zinn at 215-671-0188. Well, let's return back to our panel, and I want to ask Rich Loges. Rich, what is going to happen, do you think, as a result of the new budget that was passed in Washington?
Well, I'm going to share Larkin's optimism for the upcoming year. I did say, and to show you that I try to view things not overly pessimistic or optimistic, but just in observing what's going on at the moment. At this time last year, I did say that I thought that 2013 for the average business would probably not be one of their best years. But I'm basing that not on any stats that I have yet or reports, which are not, of course, finished yet. We're not at the end of the year. But many of my customers who rely on this time of year for a good percentage bulk of their sales, every single one of them, guys, has said to me that their sales are down. But I do think the stage is set for a better 2014. At least that's what I'm seeing is what's happening. As far as the budget goes, Michael, you know, they're still gonna they're still on the table the discussion of this debt ceiling that gets talked about. There's still this notion of are elected officials are these ladies and gentlemen, as we have it now, best suited to manage the finances? You know, we say on the show all the time that we want the government generally out of our way because they don't handle the payrolls, they don't handle the margin factoring, they don't do the proof of concept work that you talked about. It's rather easy to govern when you know you can essentially write blank checks. And this is the financial issue that we're in. We're still the strongest economy. Our currency generally is still the strongest. Countries are still interested in loaning to us because of the strength of our economy. But I don't think, though, that's the wave that we want to continue to ride indefinitely.
You're right. You're right, Richard. And I want to add here is that I've been following this budget negotiation, trying to stay in contact with a few of our good national leaders. And my concern is that as a result of the budget negotiations, all I see is that the leaders put us in more debt and a growing debt. And it's a fact, a debt that none of us will be able to pay. What was done that you could say it was directed to helping private sector businesses restart here in America, give them some money to buy equipment, refurbish their industrial sites or whatever, to make sure that they're able to get into the year 2014 with some real gusto and get people back to work? Have you seen that in any portion of the budget?
But Michael, this is the overarching conversation, in my opinion, about debt. Okay, because economically, one of the main things that runs our economy essentially is debt, or we'll call it credit, or a little bit of the above. And with all of the debt and the need to borrow, the overarching conversation about this issue is that if we were talking today, and there was this debt, and all of the things that we think need to be improved upon nationally and within the states, those things were happening. They were being worked on, whether it's healthcare, whether it's education, acknowledging that it won't be perfect, but it's being worked. If we had that debt and the quality of these, I think all of us will agree, very important day-to-day things in our lives nationally were occurring, then we'd say, okay, the debt, it's not good, but we need what we have, higher standards. And we do have high standards already in the United States. It's still why people come here. But with all of this debt, Michael, there has to eventually the light at the end of the tunnel is going to be met, and we're going to look back on it, and we're going to say, was all of this debt, what did it really bring us nationally?
That's correct.
And that's the question that we're going to have to all eventually ask. See, the Congress just kind of keeps deferring that question, though, and they're able to because of whether the budget is bipartisan or not, and it looks like it's going to be here, there's still this resounding question of, if it were a business, where would we look to retain or improve quality and try to reduce costs? Larkin, all of us in this panel, Henry Chaplinsky, who does our audio, every single one of us is in business, right? We're in business. We deal with these issues every single day. I'm not saying that the Congress doesn't deal with it in that sense. All I'm suggesting to our listeners is that are our current elected officials altogether that different from those whom we've had recently in the past in terms of how they're managing these financial matters?
No, they're not, Rich. And I have to mention something that I was at a very well attended event on Sunday. We had about 300 people at a great, great Vigilia dinner. And I must say that in my conversations with people, They keep saying, thank you for doing the good work. I am now a label watcher. I am now a promoter of the Buy American Made campaign. I push your broadcast and the commentaries and papers and all. And they say, well, what more can you do, Michael, to help bring things to where they should be? And I say, my response to that was, and I said it several times on Sunday to different people, as I said, well, it has to be not one or five or 10 or 50 or 1,000 people. It has to be everybody in America. Our people sat back for years. They watched entertainment on TV. They were sports minded. They worked two jobs and a dozen and one other reasons took their time away from getting involved in anything to do with government. They avoided going to the election polls because they didn't like the parties. They didn't care what was going on. When I say that to them, they say, well, yeah, that's a bit, you're right. We did. My most important thing, I said, what is, if I said that the team leaders were going to come and be at a particular bar or some field or something, would you go out and see them? Oh, yeah. But I said, if a political person was going to come out and you were going to be able to give them some of your ideas, would you be able to come out? The answer was 99% no. I don't have the time. Nobody listens to me. I said, well, does the sports team coach listen to you? I said, you got to have a little balance in your life. You have to do something more than just talk. You have to do, spread the word. You have to do, you have to be a leader in the movement.
Well, Michael, this is why I talk so much about the way I do about our elections. In opening up our elections, opening up the ballots. You want to fix issues in the United States. You want to talk about taxation, economic matters, labor, health care. We have many, many capable Americans who, if given a chance, I have no doubt, Michael, I have no doubt, if given a chance and had a chance to actually win an election, as the president said during the government shutdown, you want to make a change? Win an election. If I had been in that press conference, I would have asked the president, Mr. President, how in the hell can anybody actually win an election in this country when you're running against billions of dollars with the two parties?
That's right.
How can you do it?
Always amazes me, Rich, as we discussed on many occasions, is why does a candidate spend millions of dollars to win a position that pays $150,000? That's the question.
Michael, if Mark and Larkin, if for you as well, other Americans who could have a chance to, you want to open up, we have the intellect right here. We have it here. We have people who are capable, who have ideas. Are we going to have disagreements? Yeah. Are we going to have hiccups? Sure. This is what the whole conversation was about, health care. I heard a Republican congressman today in Ohio, Brad Wenstrup. He was speaking about health care. And here are the things that I heard him say. Said, I'm not interested in changing Medicare. I'm interested in lowering costs. I'm interested in people getting treatment and care, especially those with those pre-existing conditions. I contacted his office, and I said to Representative Wenstrup, I said, Representative Wenstrup, you're a single-payer advocate. You just don't know it yet. You want to reduce these things. You want to improve. This is the step, right? Now, we've got people in our government who perhaps guys otherwise would, to use this cliche, step out of the box, think outside the box, be innovative about an approach. But why is it that we just see little glimmers of it? It's because the parties are the ones who dictate the candidate. It's not the other way around.
And the people sit back and accept it. And you know, Rich, I want to tell you something else. When you are speaking to these people regarding healthcare, what most people want to know, and I'm glad they're waking up about it, is what is the real cost per service that you receive? Now, our employers work hard to try to keep their businesses afloat, to pay something toward their healthcare for their employees. But then the people get these enormous bills. What exactly is the amount of money charged for a particular item? A few weeks ago, Diane Sawyer had a program on World News Tonight where it demonstrated that a bottle of water cost $67 in the hospital. One bottle of water for that nurse to bring a bottle of water to you, $67. Yet, they will not give you an itemized bill. And I asked my own insurance provider, and they say, well, they don't do that because, you know, that every hospital is different. Every institution, every rehab place charges differently. The question is, why don't we have access to what we're being charged for what?
To get back to what Rich was saying also, the recovery of our economy is not going to be on the belly of our government spending. Period. Amen. We have to create manufacturing. We have to create jobs. We have to create small businesses, and that's how it's going to happen. But this week, I can't even remember if it was Monday. I can't even remember the day. Suffice it to say that it was a senator, a U.S. senator from the state of Pennsylvania, and it wasn't Pat Toomey, was actually being interviewed on television and made the following statement, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm do the best I can. But essentially what he said in defense of putting more money in the budget for unemployment to extend the unemployment payments, he said what America doesn't realize how important unemployment insurance is and the unemployment checks that our citizens receive, how important it is to the recovery of our economy, that right. 70 cents of that dollar goes back into the goes back into the economy.
Right.
Excuse me, where did the dollar come from? I mean, I can't even imagine that this guy, and he's a U.S. senator.
Bob Casey Larkin, that's who it was.
Who?
Bob Casey.
I didn't say that. You did.
He's a Democrat.
But you're right. You're right, Rich. And this is the thing. And I have asked both of our Pennsylvania senators if they could lead me to the people who would let me have itemized bills. Who would itemize the bills? And the answer is we don't run the healthcare system. You must deal with private providers. So wait a minute. When I hear that, now thinking about the Affordable Health Care Act, they're not wanting to run the thing. What the hell is going on?
Hey, Mike, you brought up the first question to Rich was about the budget being settled now or semi for 2 years. People don't realize how it affected even me personally with my business, General Welding. Now, we deal with the Lockheeds, the Northrop Grumman's, the Moogs with the simulators. So last year, you're coming into the end of 2012. Things were starting to break a little, but they come up with the fiscal cliff. They come up with the sequester. Well, what that did to these companies, they said, well, we won't give you purchase orders now in the fourth quarter last year. It'll be the first quarter 2013. It'll be the second quarter, third quarter. Here we're in the fourth. I'm promised a purchase order for our systems that we haven't had in 5 years. This, the 23rd coming up, but they keep pushing forward because of the unsettled situation. When we say the government just get out of our way, they cause this unconfidence. They don't realize how it affects the small businesses. I don't think they have a clue how it affects. They can't make a decision. They can't negotiate. It's really put a damper on my business.
And you're absolutely right. In fact, a lot of those shovel-ready jobs that were supposed to be done as a result of the stimulus, some of them are just getting off the ground right now as we speak.
5 years.
5 years after the fact.
The federal government cannot spend us out of the situation
right.
that we are in right now.
And
right. Period, amen.
And that is why, guys, I keep telling you that we have made more of an impact on people by telling them to look at the label, speak up where they shop, be a real pain in the you-know-what until they get results. Without results coming from the general public, the national leaders are only one part of what has to happen in America. The big part has to come from the actual people who take the money out of their pocket and spend it at the cash register. Hold on, everyone. We'll be back in a moment. I have to acknowledge some of our good sponsors. Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio takes this time to say happy holidays to you and yours. And for all of your legal needs, she invites you to give her a call at 215-423-4824. And remember, as you're out shopping during this holiday season, so many of us use pierogies and all sorts of mushrooms. Don't forget to look for Giorgio, a symbol of quality since 1928. Look for the Giorgio name across the USA where you shop. And also, if you're in the Philadelphia area and you want to go out and have a little bit of a good time over the holidays, the Sugar House Casino is going to be doing lots of things to celebrate the holiday and the new year. They're located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. You can check out all of their activities by going to sugarhousecasino.com. And Dr. Eva Machak wants to have you smiling the very best all throughout the year. And she reminds you that she has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. One is at 3084 Armingo Avenue. The other is at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. For more information, you can call Dr. Eva Machak at 215-739-2887. And if you want to go and see a beautiful store with lots of great products, especially those that you'll be enjoying during this holiday season, go to Net Cost Market. They're located at 100,017-1 Bustleton Avenue at the Leo Mall in Northeast Philadelphia. For more information about their great products, you can also save lots of money by joining the Net Cost Club card. Go to netcostmarket.com. And also Mr. Joseph Drobot, National President of the PRCUA, the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, celebrating their 140th anniversary of service this year, reminds you to celebrate your beautiful Polish and other ethnic customs during this holiday season. If you'd like more information, you can call their Philadelphia office at 215-425-3807 or their national office at 1-800-772-8632. And everyone from Polish American Travel Service, located at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue, wants to tell you if you're looking for any type of travel information, give them a buzz. Call Polish American Travel Service at 215-634-3396. And also Father and Son Builders is serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. No matter what you're looking for in the way of home repairs, Father and Son Builder is there to assist you. You can give them a call at 215-634-7800. And also Kasia and Marek Kucharski from Polka Deli, located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, remind you that they have all of the special products that you will be needing for your Vigilia table. Go over to Polka Deli, 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and see all of the great stuff they have to offer. For more information, you can give them a call at 215-634-3700. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been, you know, covering several subjects today, but the main subject is we, the American people, have to do our best to get the word out about spending on more American-made products. We have to get the dollars out of our pockets when we need special products that we see that are made here in the USA, and we have to make sure that people in our families know that when they receive that little gift for the Christmas holiday, that they're getting that with a special touch, that it is made in the USA, or give them a gift certificate where they would be able to go out and get something on their own with a little note, kindly use this on something made in the USA. Example, example, example means everything. What do you say to that, Rich?
Well, guys, you know, we talk about these issues of economics, taxation, labor, health care. I'll tell you something, to credit to everyone, not to me, but I think we speak more intelligently about these matters and the exchange of these ideas than you hear about often enough on the regular mainstream media. And that's a testament to all of our commitment. It also goes to show you just how often these matters are talked about, minus the ideological coverings and party line that the candidates and the elected officials have to take. I think, Michael, that we are, and I've said it for a long time, we have to make a decision. The United States needs to make a decision. I'm really talking about the voters. Are we going to go along the next several decades just slogging along as a part-time job economy, borrowing money, watching other emerging countries that 20, 30 years ago didn't have the infrastructure, didn't have the labor force to take part of our labor? Are we going to do that, or are we going to try to get back to how it was historically years ago, with the understanding that times are different now? I certainly understand that, but we were half the world's economy.
That's right. And Rich, you are absolutely right. Times are different, and we have to really build upon that. Mark, you're a very good example. What would you recommend if you had businesses up there in the Buffalo area? How would you say it's time for them to get on the bandwagon and start producing more American made so we can have more American made available in the stores where we shop across the USA?
You know, it's hard to do, but it's worth doing. And I think, Rich, you know, thanks for the compliment. I think we all deserve, you know, we're all doing a good job, but we all get it. We all work for a living. And I think we all care about our country and care about these times enough. But people got to, you know, Rich, you've mentioned, you know, we're in business to make money. And lately you're in business to stay in business. I mean, I spend most of my time just trying to keep the doors open, you know, and we want to get out of that mode. You want to dream again. You want to create livelihoods. You want to grow. And if it's making money, you want to reinvest in yourself. People to make products here, you know, Larkin, you back the entrepreneur and the inventor, and I'm all about that. And we've got to get these people to dream again. We got to get them to be able to, you know, I always said you can't go to school for drive and ambition and guts, let's say. But, you know, you've got to wake these people up. They've got to take that chance, and we got to take enough restraints off them so they take that chance. So I tell everybody that they've got to stay hungry. I talk this every week to my team. You know, and in your team, you got all different players. You got star players, and then you got coaches. It's more, I like to, instead of supervisors here, I like to say coaches, because you've got the people that get it. And a lot of our government members just don't get it. They don't understand what it's about and what they're supposed to be doing in their position. It's not about their self. It's about growing this country and this economy for the next generation.
You're right, Mark, and I have to add just to that. When I speak to the national leaders and I say to them, they say to me, Michael, I am promoting jobs. And when I ask the next question, exactly what are you doing? And they say, well, I am working along with the caucus. My next question is, what is the caucus doing? Well, you know, it's a very complicated matter because we can't tell businesses how to operate. Very true. But what can you do to attract businesses back to America or keep those businesses here? And the number one thing you can do is lower their taxes, cut the regulation, cut the bull, and let the American people do the best that they can do.
Absolutely.
You know Mike, Michael, speaking of schools, right, Mark, you mentioned about going to school, can't teach certain things. You guys know the Wharton School of Business, right? University of Pennsylvania, very prestigious school.
Heard of it before.
I didn't go there. So, you know, Princeton, I didn't go there either. But I will tell you this, to Larkin's point that you've mentioned before, business owners, entrepreneurs, are going to stay entrepreneurs regardless of the economic conditions and climate. When we started our company, it was in 2008. It was when the tsunami of the financial crisis, buttressed by both parties, sponsored essentially by both, was in its full swing. And we had to make a choice, and so we had a, you know, Larkin, like you said, proof of concept. We had a year-to-year strategy. Let's see if in a year time, to your point, Mark, we're gonna stay afloat. And as business owners, while I do say that we're in business to make money, I don't think that we should be making money. I don't believe in making money at all in any cost. And the reality for a lot of small businesses is exactly what you say, Mark. It's trying to just stay afloat. Government needs to be an advocate of business, particular small business. Needs to be there to keep the playing field as level as possible, to keep any regulations as level playing field as possible with the least amount of favoritism. Unfortunately, though, guys, and again, it's just my opinion that perhaps you all share, that the way that our elected officials simply are elected, I don't know any business owners, small business owners, who give millions of dollars a year in contributions. I don't know any small business owners who have dozens, if not hundreds, of lobbyists to go to Congress. Healthcare alone, 85 lobbyists per congressman. So where do we go from there? Well, this comes from electoral reform, which is why I talk about it all the time. Our elections need to be publicly financed. There needs to be a limit in terms of what our elected officials, once they're out of office, there needs to be essentially a certain amount of time before they can take positions that relate to corporate connections. We need to level this playing field out with our elections. You do it with our elections, from there, everything is influenced by our election. You reform that, and I think you start the snowball effect of reforming other agencies and institutions in the United States.
Unfortunately, as much as I agree with what you're saying, the ballot is not the vehicle for correcting it. It really isn't. If you stop and think, the people who are going to have to make these changes as far as term limits are concerned, and people voting on their own salary, and people voting on whether they have to take Obamacare as an elected individual or not. All of these issues are, guess what? They are resolved and voted on by the people who are currently elected.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take some sort of constitutional reform to, you know, just absolutely force these changes on Congress, because they're sure not going to elect, or they're sure not going to vote for changes that have the kind of effect that it will have on them as legislators. They're just not going
to
do it.
I think we have to go after some of the people who are about to retire and have them propose their legislation. I understand there are a few people ready to retire. Maybe it's time to go after them and ask them to do it. And by the way, I want to encourage all of you to go to our site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and on the very bottom, you will see contact your elected officials here. Click on that and go to that site. You'll see exactly how to contact your local person. Put in your zip code, and then contact your elected official. One of the things I'm going to ask that you do for the next month is go after them and just ask them one thing when you email them. What are you doing to help promote jobs in America? Throughout the year 2014, I want the people to hear the same kinds of responses that I get. Well, we are working with the caucus. We can't do anything about it. It's free enterprise in America and all this other bull. I would like the people to send notices to their elected officials. That way your email is time dated. You know when you send it. File it in your little folders and then just keep sending it back, because they hesitate to send you any kind of a reply. And that's very unfortunate. We have some very good people in our local city and states, but the national people are so isolated from the reality of what it takes to be with people that they just don't care.
For many voters, Michael, it's a very, and Lark, and to your point, for many voters, it's a very scary proposition, perhaps, to go to a voting booth for a major election, whether it's state or federal, and look at the Republican, Democrat, and other, and say that maybe the best chance we have, even if the other, whomever that might be, isn't elected. You see, if you rattle the two parties enough, they will pay attention. And my evidence for that is in Ross Perot. Ross Perot is the most influential modern-day so-called third-party candidate we've ever had. When the debates were going on at that time, if you were polling at 15% or more, you had to get in. He got in. He scared the crap out of the two parties. Then it became a private corporation to run the debates, and then arbitrarily it was raised from 15 to 25.
And see what happened? I really stood behind Ross Perot at the time. I thought it was great what he was doing. But he really was spitting into the wind, so to speak. I mean,
what's funny about Perot also, Larkin, I'll mention, is the Democrats didn't have a problem with a third-party candidate then.
Well, that's exactly.
Meanwhile, with Ralph Nader, this lie that's perpetrated to this day, that Ralph Nader somehow elected George Bush, even though in the state of Florida there were 7 presidential candidates, all of whom had more votes than was the difference between Gore and Bush in Florida. So there wasn't a problem with third party then. And this whole notion of how to make votes count is part of our electoral reform. And you're right, Larkin. It's an immense uphill battle.
Well, you know,
if anybody can do it, it's us. We can do it. The United States. Wherever, anywhere else is being done well, we can do better.
But you know what? As I listen to that response, I'm thinking maybe we have 3 people that could run for president right here on the panel. Larkin Connolly, I'd be definitely have him on the panel without question on the electoral. But even if we don't get to the next step, we could make some noise. We could rattle cages. Mark, you could do that too. And Rich, you'd be perfect. I told you that the other day. You'd be absolutely perfect to rile up the people, but to get issues on the table. We need issues on the table.
Do you know how many federal parks I would turn into golf courses?
Uh-oh, it's one of those. Everyone, thank you for tuning in. Next Wednesday, our radio broadcast will be hosted by Barbara Ilnitska, who will be doing our greetings, po polsku, in Polish, but our internet broadcast will be in the English language. We'll have our panel back discussing some of our year-end issues and things that'll be happening in the new year. Larkin Connolly, I have to tell you something about that name, Larkin Connolly, too. Rich Logis and also Mark Andel, thank you. We'll be talking again soon. David Zenya, I'll see you all on Saturday. And if not on Saturday, I'll see you at some point over the Christmas and New Year holiday.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, guys. Merry Christmas.